You're listening to Street Roots Radio on X-Ray FM. I'm Hannah Francis. Street Roots Radio is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBOO Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon, that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, I have here with me Street Roots reporter Henry Brannon to talk about his recent article, 1,000 Cuts. Have you been wondering what all the different city and county homeless shelter cuts actually add up to? So were we. Thanks for being here, Henry.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. So to start us out, can you talk about the information that you were looking for from the city and the county and sort of what they are and are not keeping track of?
Yeah, that's a great question. At the most broad level, we've been seeing kind of these news reports over and over about cuts to this shelter. This shelter is closing for really quite a while. And, you know, I kept, when I was writing stories, looking for one definitive story or one definitive report to link back to talk about the extent and pin it down. And what we found is that that doesn't exist. And so we reached out to the city and Multnomah County, City of Portland and Multnomah County, and we basically wanted to find out what facilities were open in fiscal year 2025-26. I should say also fiscal year runs from July 1st of 1 year to June 30 of the next. So our current fiscal year ends June 30. So anyhow, what facilities were open this current fiscal year that's about to end? What facilities have already closed? And then finally, what facilities are set to close under the city and county's proposed budgets next fiscal year? So that was kind of what we were trying to answer. I should say the city and at least the county does appear to have forms of this data. You know, in budget presentations, when you listen to them, they kind of imply having this. But when we reached out, neither government was able to provide kind of answers to those or others in a direct sense. But instead, they kind of helped us by providing a bunch of different piecemeal sources of data. So that's things like detailed statements, reports, memos on proposed cuts, budgets, budget documents, and budget presentations. And through all those, we were kind of able to piece together the full extent of cuts and proposed cuts to really get a sense of the difference between services offered this year and next fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a lot of information to sort through, of sort of the county and city shelter losses that you found.
Yeah, absolutely. So the county and city, each in their budget proposals, they had kind of projected losses that they talked about. And that was mostly just in what they were proposing not funding next year. However, our analysis kind of took it a step beyond that. We looked at stuff that had already closed. And then we also looked at units that weren't like brick and mortar units. Like rather than a bed at a shelter, they also provide shelter for people through things like vouchers for hotels. And so we also included that. And then we also in our analysis included proposed new facilities that had been funded, but then were unfunded now. So we're basically defunded. So we look to establish the total difference between this fiscal year and what next fiscal year would be under those conditions. And what we found was a little shy of 1,600 fewer beds compared to that baseline under those conditions we established, which is a pretty good deal of beds.
What is the definition of a shelter unit here?
Yeah, so we chose shelter unit as the way to kind of define that. And the reason why is every entity kind of defines bed differently. So like in a lot of places, they'll talk about like, oh, this pod shelter can house 100 people, but it's actually 80 kind of buildings. And they all use different terminology. So we used unit to refer to, it was basically the broadest term we could find to refer to like one person being sheltered. It's how we conceptualized it. So like, for instance, if there was an alternative shelter, like a village that had 80 pods but housed 100 people, we counted that as 100 shelter units.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
And I should say that's consistent with what the city and county have done in their budgets as well often.
So the county has proposed a 28% cut in shelter beds, and the city has proposed a cut in about 20% of shelter beds. Is this looking accurate?
Yeah, so those are accurate and true to the budgets, with the exception the city also kind of classified one shelter that's going from 20 year-round congregate to seasonal. They didn't include that as a cut, which we do in our analysis, because it cuts their year-round capacity. With that exception, those numbers are accurate to what's proposed just from the changes in the budget. But again, when you factor in all these other things, their kind of cumulative proposed cuts was 776 from each of the budgets, units, I should say. Again, we found 1,566. So they got, when you kind of broaden these things and look at the amount of beds or units that are going to be available to people versus what was supposed to be available to people, then it's about half as much, our analysis found. But theirs are true to the letter of what they're proposing for their budget purposes. It's just not quite as broad. It doesn't paint as broad of a picture of what what the city will be facing.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so during the same time, while the city and the county are proposing these cuts, homelessness is increasing and has increased. Could you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, homelessness increasing really comes down to a problem of, I believe the term is churn. And so, you know, we think of homelessness as a stagnant population of people who are out on the street. But in reality, governments are housing people pretty continuously, but economic conditions are just creating more people, just pushing more people to the street. And so, you know, year over year, and the most recent data, I should say, is from March, and this is county data. But year over year, there was about a 20%, a little more than 20%, a 21% increase in the number of homeless people or people experiencing homelessness. And that would be, it's about 18,000 or more people experiencing homelessness.
Circling back to the city and the county cuts and how they reflect the budget, I'd love to talk a little bit more about each, the county and the city budget shortfalls and kind of where they're at. So the county has, you wrote, 11 million short in general funds plus 67 million short in specifically homeless services. So can you tell me a little bit about that first?
Yeah. So I asked the county, I was like, what's your budget shortfall? And they gave me that. And I was like, cool. So can I add them? And they're like, no. And that's basically because there's some overlap and they declined to provide a number that doesn't have the overlap. Apparently it was quite complicated. And then I should say the city also faces a pretty huge budget shortfall. Theirs is 160 million. Their budget's $8.5 billion for the coming fiscal year. The city's is $3.9 billion. So these are huge budget shortfalls, but, you know, somewhat small compared to the whole budget. But it's hard to find, you know, more than $100 million in cuts, I should say. And basically, the causes of this are somewhat similar for the two. I reviewed budget documents and kind of financial reports to establish this. And so, you know, it's a mixture of kind of slowed growth in tax revenue, rising cost to provide services. Economic Outlook reports also show there's just personnel costs increasing. That's things like health insurance, compensation, inflation. One points to, quote, geopolitical strife, which could mean any number of things. There's a lot of factors combining to leave our kind of region in a pretty bad fiscal picture. I should also say, you know, maybe the main driver of a lot of this is, you know, Trump administration policies have actually just dramatically reduced the amount of grants coming in. And so state and federal grants, when you look at budget breakdowns, you know, pretty deep within these documents, you see that there's just huge gaps, largely because of that. And that's really, you see the impacts of the Trump administration shifting policies from things like supportive housing and harm reduction to more kind of shelter-oriented approaches or just less money outright. Also, the end of kind of COVID-era funds that the city and county had really come to rely on, even though they were, you know, explicitly temporary. So it's really kind of a perfect storm of budget stuff. But both governments, you know, made put forward budgets that reconciled those cuts and or those shortfalls. And that's kind of where we get these proposed cuts from. They certainly, neither government would want to make these cuts if they didn't have to or feel they had to.
Right. So there's a lot of discussion in, you know, in Portland around the idea that shelter beds are not necessarily the best answer to homelessness. And we know that, you know, it's really important to have this to help act as a temporary solution to this issue, but it doesn't really address the underlying issues that cause homelessness or perpetuate it. So is there money going to other services, or is this purely just like a saving money move?
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, shelters do play an important role. You know, I've talked to social workers who say, like, I will not be able to house somebody, like, if I can't find my client. And so shelters that give them temporary stability while we look for longer term solutions and while we get them in that are important. People also get food from there. Some people feel safer in them. I should say other people don't. So they play an important role. But there's been a big debate between the county and city recently, and I would say it appears to be growing, and OPB has done some good reporting on this, where basically the mayor, Mayor Wilson, his strategy to you know, quote, fight homelessness, or what they would call that, or would be using a lot of overnight shelters to kind of battle unsheltered homelessness, I guess is how some people would describe it. Critics say that's just hiding homeless people and kind of warehousing them. The county, on the other hand, has taken a much different approach. They had a report out, I believe it was early this year, that found that actually their money would be better spent on kind of supportive services. So rather than just overnight shelters, things that connect people to services, eviction prevention to keep them off the street in the first place, almost like the logic of preventative care and medicine, but for housing. And so when you look at the county's budget, you do see that they're kind of making shifts in line with that, in line with their philosophy, and really cutting the overnights more. The city, on the other hand, you know, this has been, you know, they, I do not think want to be cutting these overnight shelters. You know, it's really a big part of the mayor's kind of policy agenda, but they have made some tough cuts. And I suppose I should say, you know, there was a budget meeting on May 12th. The Oregonian reported on this, but I also watched the hearing. And you see the county talking about their different models for outcomes, you know, depending on what happens. And basically what they said is, if we continue allocating the money, basically money, the way we are, at the same level we are, they projected homelessness to increase in the coming years. I believe the numbers, you know, was a 25% increase in the coming year. Now, with the way they're kind of reallocating money and putting it more towards these kind of more supportive services that their research, and I should say PSU research, also shows house people more efficiently, that won't be quite so much. However, you know, they did admit, and their models do show, that no matter what, homelessness is going to increase. So basically people should brace for that and understand that until we fight the problem more aggressively, with kind of research-backed ways, it will continue to increase. And economic conditions being what they are, like, more people are going to be pushed onto the street than we can house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that quote scared me for sure. And I was very surprised that I haven't seen that number around more.
It's not a good note to end on, but, you know, it is kind of the... It is the future, as far as I can tell, and as far as, you know, the county models show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I wonder what this actually means as far as, like, number of shelter beds and, like, specific shelter beds that are being closed down.
Yeah, for sure. And I should say, you know, check out the online version of this article. It'll be on Street Roots website. And we actually have a map that I made that shows the locations and how many units are being lost or proposed to be cut. So you can really see it visualized that way. We also, though, in our story have bullet points, and we talk about the exact extent of the cuts. So county and city. This is, as far as I know, the only place you can find that right now. Hopefully that changes and more places talk about this. But you can really see it's quite a few. Like, for instance, from the county, you're seeing a closure of the Laurelwood Center overnight shelter. That's 120 units. The Roseway Inn Motel Shelter, 120 units. River District Navigation Center overnight shelter, that's 100 units. I should note there's all sorts of caveats that we also note. One of them, for instance, is that the city's actually taking that one over. And so that will only lose 10 units. There's also things like the Chestnut Tree Inn Motel Shelter, 82nd Avenue Motel Shelter Voluntary Isolation Motel. I should note that county officials told me, they sent me a memo kind of laying out the logic behind all their cuts. And for instance, for this facility, nobody seems to have used it, they said, which is, you know, why it's being cut. Another one was being cut because they had built kind of redundant services in the area, and it was quite expensive because of maintenance, because some of the rents had been raised on them. So, you know, as far as the reasons goes, they've laid out, you know, pretty, they've laid out their logic behind the cuts. And then for the city, you know, there's many other. And then, of course, I found 5 shelters that had already been closed as well. So, yeah, I would say, you know, the full extent is pretty dramatic and long. And I would encourage people to look at the article. But the cumulative effect is just that there will be much fewer beds for people to kind of live in or stay in. And also, you know, less kind of medium to long term things that provide people stability as they seek to get kind of transition back into more permanent housing. And this kind of also comes amid a broader kind of bombardment of cuts, especially at the federal level, to a lot of programs that support people. And of course, the Biden administration also really gutted the COVID era safety net that had housed really effectively a lot of people. So it's really kind of cuts on top of cuts on top of cuts right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, on that bright note, is there anything else you'd like to add?
You can support Street Roots by buying a paper from a vendor. You can see where vendors are and when they'll be there by going to streetroots.org/vendors. And, I would say the other thing would be, you know, currently these are proposed cuts. The city and county are in the middle of their budget processes. They are working with some pretty harsh fiscal realities, but reaching out to your representatives if you have, you know, concerns about this is certainly something that folks can do. I think long-term folks are probably talking about, you know, the need for kind of allocating just more money to these longer-term solutions that keep people housed and provide, you know, some folks the support services that that do that. But yeah, it's... I think, you know, social workers I've talked to, they're pretty depressing conversations. You know, they're like, I will not be able to serve my clients as well. Yeah. It's a rough situation.
Yeah. If folks are interested in learning more about the Portland City housing budget, there are housing and homelessness meetings every Tuesday at noon, I think. And that's a really interesting place to find out more as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Those meetings, they're dry, but then you hear this crazy stuff in it. Like, for instance, no matter what we do, there's going to be an increase in homelessness according to models. So there's definitely insights worth going to those. And of course, Street Roots, and I'm sure, you know, others will continue to follow this stuff as well.
Amazing. Well, thanks so much, Henry. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Street Roots Radio with Street Roots reporter Henry Brannan. For X-Ray FM, I'm Hannah Francis.